Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Disneyland has announced an expansion. Facial recognition is apparently coming to Walt Disney World. Disney has rolled out a new feature on My Disney Experience called Magic Mobile. We're going to talk about that. DCL has announced a partial return to cruising. And is it possible that they may be getting ready to make major announcements about the Wish, the new ship? We'll talk about that. All that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. Welcome, folks, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined in the studio this week by my producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy, hoy.
And via the interwebs by Diz editor, Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
Associate producer for the Diz Unplugged, Mr. Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everybody.
And awesome woman, and I haven't seen her in 150 years, it feels like. Kathy Whirling is with us.
Hi, everybody.
I was so excited when I came in the studio, and Craig told me Kathy was on the show. I haven't seen her in, like, forever. And we're both vaccinated now. We can get together and do something. We have to get together and do something. But welcome, folks. Hope your week is off to a good start. Before I get into the plethora of things there are to talk about this week, I just want to remind everybody that this show, along with all the content we produce, is brought to you by DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com. If you like our content, if you like the stuff we do, Dreams Unlimited is how I pay for it. So you could show your support by booking your next Disney World vacation, your next Universal vacation, your next Disney Cruise Line or Royal Caribbean or any number of other cruise lines, Adventures by Disney, all of that can be booked through Dreams Unlimited Travel. And it doesn't cost you an extra dime. There's no additional fees for using us. And it's a great way to show your support for us and for our content. I also want to remind everybody that we have moved a lot of our content onto separate channels. So the Disney Dining Show is on its own channel. The Disney Cruise Line stuff is on its own channel. And we'll have links to all that stuff below, but also moving to Orlando. If you're interested in moving to the Orlando area, if you want to live here, that is a business I co-own with Sean Falk. We're both realtors. And moving to Orlando.com is where you can find that, or youtube.com/movingtoOrlando. Do all sorts of home tours and shows and stuff like that. So please head over and check that out. Okay. So most weeks, it can be a challenge, to be honest with you, coming up with things to talk about. But Disney apparently loves to do things en masse. And last week, we got two really, really big announcements. The plan to expand Disneyland and DCL announcing that it is resuming cruising out of the UK. And so, like, either one of those stories is a big story. And then we got some other stuff that's a little bit more, you know, reading the tea leaves, but I'll get to that. But let's talk about this, this Disneyland expansion. That they announced there. It looks like they are going back to plans that they had years ago that, for a number of reasons, didn't come to fruition, politics not being the least of them. But they're saying that this is going to be an expansion of the park, not a third gate. Does anybody buy that?
No.
I don't buy that. According to the announcement, the plan calls for a new look at plans originally drawn up and approved in the 1990s. The proposal calls for a theme park expansion on what is now the Lilo and Stitch parking lot near Paradise Pier Hotel and the Disneyland Hotel. These people love to build on parking lots. I don't know how many people realize that California Adventure is built on the old Disneyland Park parking lot. Absolutely. So this is why I think this is why they get permits to build parking lots, because they know eventually they're going to put a theme park on them. And so this is them saying this is what they want to do. It's going to be a couple of years before they even get to a point where these plans can be approved and construction can actually begin. So it's not like we're going to see this anytime soon. And if you followed along with some of the proposed construction plans Disneyland has had in the past, they don't always pan out. A lot of times, the last time, what?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you were getting ready to say something. The last time, of course, they were planning this massive 5-star hotel that was going to sit in front of the Disneyland Hotel. They were going to get rid of Rainforest Cafe, the AMC Theater, all of that was going to go away. And they're going to build this massive 5-star hotel. And then the battle with the Anaheim City Council just made it untenable, and they ended up scrapping the plans. So I'm excited about this, but I'm also a student of history, and I'll believe it when it opens.
Well, and that's the entire thing with this, that, you know, I know we're not going to go into it in depth to the point that we did when we did the live stream with Mary Jo and Michael, because they were both a wealth of knowledge in terms of the past history of Disneyland and projects. But essentially, Disneyland Forward, if people are still confused,
that's what's
about
being
it
called.
Yeah, it is a proposal plan to say, hey, Anaheim, you currently have restrictions on zoning for where we're allowed to build stuff. And if you're going to be nice enough to change it, then we can do things like expand on both of our theme parks and, you know, add even more entertainment, shopping, dining. And so it's all one big ruse to try to get Anaheim to change it. If they don't, well, then it's dead in the water.
Think about the brilliance politically of that move. Anaheim, like many tourist cities around the country, has been decimated by the pandemic, right? They live on tax revenues. They live on resort revenues. They live on people coming in to the city to be at Disneyland, to stay in the hotels. That is how the city functions. So the city has lost a fortune. And Disney comes along like a pimp. Let's just call it what it is. And says, hey, you know, scratch my back and I'll build this big ass thing here and you'll make a lot of money. Politically, it's a master stroke. It really is. Now, but the politics in Anaheim get crazy, crazier than most places. And it's California after all. So it's where crazy was born. And don't email me. Okay, just don't. Even Californians got to go, yeah, okay, yeah. But I love California. I do. I love California. You're just nuts. But I think that this is, again, you know, what business is supposed to do, right? There's an opportunity. This is something they've wanted to expand. They've wanted to build. There have been a lot of problems with Anaheim. Politically in doing it, and wait till something like this happens, presents an opportunity. I mean, I can't blame them. I really cannot blame them for doing this. And of course, you know, just the idea of something new coming out to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Anybody else not really excited at the prospect?
I'm so stoked. I mean, the last big expansion that we got obviously Galaxy's Edge, but that's a mirror image from Disneyland to Walt Disney World. And with a project this big, obviously we're going to get things in Disneyland that you can't get here. And I think that's what Disneyland really needs. This proposal is a massive stretch of land. And, you know, I read that part too about it not being a third gate and it just being an expansion of the current parks. And what instantly went through my mind is like, it must be some like legal thing where it's so much easier to get away with an expansion than it is to actually make a brand new theme park. But if it is just an expansion to the current parks, it's a huge one. And I think we'll definitely see some unique things there. But also, correct me if I'm wrong, an additional resort is being proposed too. And that's in addition to the already proposed DVC, the new DVC tower. So that would be another additional resort.
I'll tell you now, there's no way Disneyland's going to build a cardboard box without a resort involved. There's absolutely no possible way. And again, as I talked about, the plans for the previous, you know, the five-star that was going to make Grand Californian look like a Roadway Inn was scrapped. But they were really in on that. So I'm expecting that that's exactly what's going to be part of this, something along those lines. But you bring up you brought up an excellent point with – there being probably being a legality in calling it an expansion versus a third gate. And I'm sure there is an asterisk in some contract somewhere with the city of Anaheim that applies different rules to an expansion as opposed to a new build, a new product.
Well, that again is where it gets into the messiness with zoning. Some of the areas that it's all currently sitting on can only be zoned for hotels or entertainment, dining, shopping, and some can be used for theme parks, let's say. So that's why they need the laws to change. So it's more, they can use the land for whatever they want. But the bigger reason why Third Gate is kind of out of the question, it's not completely. Anything can still happen. But the land that it's all happening on is still so small that for it to be a full park, it would have to completely envelop Paradise Pier Hotel and Disneyland Hotel plus the DVC inside the park. Or it would have to be...
Anybody not okay with that?
I mean, it would be really, really neat to see. But yeah, it would have to just suck every hotel and every little bit of that area up into it. So that's why making expansions that are across the street connected by bridges, it's not going to be pretty, but it's a way for them to do it without making these hotels sit right in the middle of a theme park. And then, as Fiasco said, I have a picture on the screen of all of the proposals per se. The extra resort is going kind of catty corner from the current property of Disneyland there across the street, where it would be kind of across from the convention center in the Toy Story lot.
Okay. However it manifests, assuming that it manifests, I don't care. I'm in. As a Disneyland fan, as someone who loves Disneyland, this was the kind of announcement, especially after the year we've all had, that just was like, oh, awesome. They're going to spend all this money. They're going to do all this cool stuff, and they're going to let Imagineering do what Imagineering does. Does anybody think that's not going to end up well? Now, I realize residents of Anaheim, residents of Southern California may have a different take on this to some degree. I'm not one of those people. Okay. So from my perspective, I'm all in. I thought this was a tremendous announcement. It made me really, really happy. As did the announcement that kind of came out of left field. Disney Cruise Line has announced that they are going to sail out of ports in England this summer. Now, let's talk about how this all played out last week. There was an odd, I believe it was on Twitter. It was an odd tweet from the port of, was it the port of Southampton? It was one of the ports. I think it was the port of Southampton in England, saying that Disney Cruise Line was going to be sailing out of that port this summer. And we were, everybody was like, what? Then all of a sudden, and it's got picked up by a couple of different outlets, all of a sudden, all those tweets disappeared. They disappeared. All of it disappeared. Disney apparently had a fit. And, you know, I told Denny and Jackie, go ahead and write it up. If they come after me and tell me to take it down, we'll talk about it. But go ahead and write it up. And we did, and we published it. And then the next morning, and I'm not saying this had anything to do with us at all, but the next morning, DCL came out and confirmed that they were doing this. I think somebody at the port of Southampton just got excited, was a Disney fan and got excited and sent it out from that Twitter account. And it forced the fact that everybody picked it up and everybody was starting to talk about it, forced DCL to confirm it before they were ready. Because it looks to me that they're not ready to start booking these cruises till April. And that's probably when they wanted this announcement to go out. But they figured, okay, well, you know what? Might as well just announce it now. So what it's going to be is the Disney Magic will sail out of ports of London, Tilbury, Newcastle, Liverpool, and Southampton. Cruises are going to be open to UK residents only and will be 2-, 3-, and 4-night experience at sea without stops at any ports of call. They're not going anywhere. These are cruises to nowhere, which I'm in, you know, right? If I could go. Do I want to be a UK resident than right now. But they've released very little information on what the experience is going to be on the ship, what kind of entertainment there's going to be, what kind of capacity they're going to have. So, like, you know, are they going to require vaccinations? Have they said anything about the vaccinations yet?
Not yet.
No. So, I mean, because Royal Caribbean, of course, announced they're sailing out of Nassau starting this summer. I think that also put pressure on Disney to announce this. And but they're Royal Caribbean sailing out of Nassau, they are requiring vaccinations, something they're getting pushback on. I'm not going into that. I'm just going to say that's what's happening right now. I'm not talking about anything else. But I think we can start reading some things from this. Even though, you know, if we're not UK residents, we can't take part in it. The minute I heard this, the first thing that came into my mind, they're ready to go. They're ready to go. I've been complaining that they're not telling us, what are you doing to the ships? Like, what, how are you making this safer for us? And they're still not. But obviously, if they're doing this, they feel these ships are ready. Now, right now, the CDC in the United States has a no-sail order in effect until November. So unless the CDC changes that, no cruise line can sail out of or come into any U.S. ports, which is why Royal Caribbean said, fine, we'll go out of Nassau in the Bahamas. Now, whether Disney is going to do something like that, I don't know. What the requirements for vaccines, if there are going to be any, I don't know. They haven't talked about any of this, but this is clear that their ships in their... As far as Disney Cruise Line is concerned, their ships are ready to go. Their ships are ready to go, which means if the pressure being put on the CDC, not just by the cruise industry, but also by the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is putting a lot of pressure on the CDC to, if they're not going to lift the no sail order, they have to explain why. Because every cruise line is saying the same thing. We're waiting for guidance from the CDC. And the CDC is effectively holding this industry hostage right now. And they may have very good reasons for that. And I understand it. I really do. But communication, guys, communication. Tell them what they need to do to be able to resume sailing on some level. So I thought this was fantastic, fantastic news. And I'm extremely happy for my friends in the UK who will be able to take advantage of this. We don't have a specific date when bookings are going to open for this, but it will be available to book in April from what we understand. Now, let's kind of move into another April Cruise Line story. This one is about tea leaves. This one is about gut instincts, mine and John Magi's. I think before the end of April, we're going to have an announcement. We're going to have an announcement on the Wish. And here's why I think that. Now, before I move on to that, anybody have anything they want to talk about in regard to the UK sailings?
No.
You had said something about maybe they weren't ready. I think they absolutely were not ready to announce this yet, simply because when they did announce it on Friday morning, it was, hey, like you said, they'll be available for booking in April. We'll let you know more about that. You'll get to see things that you might see on a Marvel Day at Sea cruise. There'll be Frozen themed activities, little things like that, but nothing specific, nothing concrete, no definite sail dates, all that jazz. We do know June. And we know the ports that it'll be sailing out of and that they will be cruises to nowhere, which sounds absolutely divine.
Right.
To me.
Completely. I'm all in.
Take me to nowhere, please. I would love that on a Disney cruise ship.
And honestly, yes, and I think we all feel the same way that the ports are nice. The ship is the destination. Right. Yes. When it comes to Disney cruises for us, for this group, the ports are nice, but I'm more likely to stay on the ship than I am to get off of it anyway. So I'd be perfectly fine if you want to just like float me around for a week. Mm-hmm. Like I said, here's my credit card. Tell me when to show up.
But don't you think, I tend to think that Disney did it on purpose and had somebody leak this story just to gauge the interest?
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
They've done that before.
Nope. 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 Not this time. Not when this gets out there. And then all of a sudden, every outlet that picked it up pulled the story. Mm-hmm. If they wanted it out there, they never would have told people to pull the story. Because what we've heard from some of these outlets is they were contacted by Disney and threatened.
Oh, wow.
So, you know. And what their version of threatened is and what mine is, I don't know, it may be very different. But that's the stuff we were hearing. They were told by Disney Cruise Line, take that down. So no, Disney, absolutely. And that's an organization that wants, well, Disney in general, but Cruise Line in particular, they want to control the narrative and the discussion completely. So they're not going to float a test balloon like that. Not with something like this. So I really don't think this was to gauge interest. I think they know the interest is there. They know the interest in there. And there's a certain level of arrogance that goes along with that, because that's why they haven't been communicating really anything.
Yeah.
Since Cruise Line shut down, they haven't communicated anything. We don't know what's going on with ships. We don't know what changes you've made. We don't know. Have you Royal Caribbean, like I said, Royal Caribbean won't go to the bathroom without sending out a damn email blast. Every change that's been made to their ships, everything they're doing to make their ships ready to sail and be safe, they have communicated constantly to people signed up for their mailers and those in the travel trade. I mean, really, they've done phenomenal. Disney Cruise Line? Crickets. Crickets is all I've heard. And I've emailed and begged, please say something. Please say something. And then they release like some ad that, you know, we're we're getting ready to sail again, and it's people with masks on. Okay. That's
yeah.
It's not 2018 or 2019 anymore. Okay. The rules are going to be different moving forward. And I'm sure they have done tremendous things to these ships. We just have no idea what they are. And they want people to feel comfortable and safe getting on their ships. You better start messaging that now. Message that now. Because, I mean, look, they released the 2022 summer itineraries. Those booked incredibly well. No surprise there. Pent-up demand, 2022. We're hoping, like, everything will be all right and we can, you know, do stuff like people again. But that 2022 release was very telling for what wasn't included. Namely, there are no three-night sailings at all out of Port Canaveral in the summer of 2022 in that release, and a limited number of four nights. The Dream is being moved to Miami. They announced, as a result of COVID, that they were postponing the release of The Wish, which was supposed to be beginning of 2022, and they pushed it back to the summer of 2022. We were thinking maybe with the 2022 summer release, itinerary release recently, that The Wish would be included. It was not. It was not. But you really don't need a lot of help to look at this information. If you've followed even passively over the last few years, Disney Cruise Line, they're going to announce dates for The Wish in April. That's what I think. I have no basis for that other than what I just laid out, right? I'm not hearing anything. I don't have any inside information, nothing. This is just me looking at it and saying, okay, that seems like common sense. That we're going to see an announcement in April about The Wish. I don't think they wanted to overshadow or cannibalize their 2022 summer itineraries. But it's also very interesting to note that the embedded ABDs for summer 2022 in Europe were all announced, but none of the other ones were. None of the other ones were. So all of these things together paint a picture, right? It paints a picture. So I think April. I think they were planning to announce the UK sailings in April and this in April. And if somebody at the shipyard decides to get drunk and hop onto the company Twitter account and tweet out, hey, The Wish is done. Barring that, I think anybody else see that, or am I, or John and I, like, crazy?
No, absolutely. No, I mean, go ahead, Kathy.
I was just going to say, I think it's common. They want to have their grand little, you know, celebration to announce The Wish. And you know that when they announce it, it's going to go crazy.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. And I do want to get out there that if you are interested in booking any cruise that has not been announced, The Wish in particular, you can send an email to future_bookings@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Give your information, and that will be assigned out to an agent. So as soon as that's released, we can work with you on getting you booked on that. So if The Wish is something you're excited about, if cruises in the future that aren't released yet or something you're excited about, future_bookings@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And I made it possible today that if you just forget the underscore, the emails still go through. Because I'm like, why do we have an underscore here?
There you go. Yeah, I think the fact that we have 10 3- and 4-day cruises slated for June this year, and we have one for next year, and they're moving the Dream down to Miami, it seems like they're making a parking spot for the Disney Wish. Of course, yep. It would go right there. And two other real quick things. I kind of want to just give light to the fact that when you book with Dreams Unlimited Travel, you walk onto the ship with onboard credit. And it depends on how much you have spent toward your cruise. But if you walk onto the ship with, it's like walking in with change in your pocket. It's an incredible feeling, and it's at no additional cost to you. And I just, apart from working for, you know, the Diz and Dreams before even doing that, used Dreams to book a couple of cruises. And that is the most amazing feeling, walking on that ship, knowing, you know, there's some things that are already taken care of.
John literally stands at the entrance to the, every sailing, at the entrance to the ship, and hands everybody money. Yeah, that's what we do. That's how we do it.
And can I also say that the day that they release this, the Dreams agents will be on the phone making these reservations for you, and they'll do the waiting. You don't need to do anything.
Kathy speaks from extensive mm-hmm. experience. Of course, Kathy is one of our fabulous Dreams agents. She's been an agent with Dreams Unlimited for, I think, now 110 years, Kathy?
Something like that. But today is my 15-year anniversary with Dreams Yay. Unlimited.
Is it really?
Happy anniversary.
It is.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. awesome. 15 years.
Yes.
15 years. She started when she was 14.
Yes, thank you.
She started when she was 14. Yep. All right, let's move off of cruises and stuff and talk about something else that's going on that some people are a little upset about, is that an effort to move to more of a touchless experience at Walt Disney World. One of the things they are doing is they are testing out facial recognition software, so that you don't have to, you know, touch anything, right? To give you entry into the theme park. Now, Denny, I know Jackie wrote this article, but I'm going to let you talk about it.
Well, and I'm going to defer over to Craig, because Craig actually experienced it, I think.
Oh, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked on you? It didn't, like, the machine didn't melt down when it tried to read your face?
It did not, no. This gets, I shouldn't say it gets a lot of discussion over it all. Like, it did when it first announced, because it took a lot of people by surprise, I think. There's not much to say about it overall. It's a test that you can currently take part in now that's happening for the rest of April, pretty much, maybe I think till the 23rd. And you literally, as long as you have your park admission, you walk right up to the booth, you tap your either Magic Band or your annual pass or your Magic Mobile, which we'll get to in a second. You tap it there, and they literally tell you, don't have a hat on and keep your mask on and no sunglasses. And then it just lets you right in. And that's it. It is, I was expecting to feel like I was in a spy movie. It is the most underwhelming experience I have ever had with testing something new at Disney. There wasn't even like any satisfaction with it. It was like, I walked an extra 20 feet out of my way to do this. And it's good
right
for
now,
my steps. But
right now there is a separate queue for people who want to be part of this test. Not, it's not, you know, everyone's not being forced into this. You have to opt in for it. Eventually, it will likely be, you know, de rigueur, and everybody's going to have to do it. But I know some people are like, you know, this is Orwellian. This is those arguments are fair, but it's the world we live in. And I don't know. I got to stare at my phone to make a phone call. So I don't know how okay, this is any different.
I was going to ask Pete what your thoughts were, because as a listener in Maryland, years ago when they mentioned that they were going to do the touch points with the fingerprint thing, you had a cow sideways.
I did. So, and that hurt. It hurt having that cow sideways. I will tell you, I'm still not right. My feeling on it has definitely evolved. My feeling on it has definitely evolved over the last 10, 15 years. There's making a point, and then there's pissing into the wind. And like I said, I have to stare at my phone to make a phone call, and I guess I don't have to. I can set my phone up with absolutely no security at all, but that ain't going to happen. And this has just become regular part of our day. Isn't there facial recognition in customs? Haven't I experienced that in customs too? Coming back into the country? I know I want to say that I have had that experience at somewhere. But, you know.
Do you remember a couple years ago when they were going to put scanners down at your feet level and they were going to scan your feet to see where you were going to walk? I like this facial scanning better.
Technology is going to be used. It's the way it's always been, right? We make technological advancements. We find ways to integrate them into things we do to make things easier, more simple, more secure, whatever. Arguments to be made. I'm not saying that people that think this is a step too far are wrong. I'm really not. And maybe I'm part of the problem, because I'm like, yeah, okay. I was upset about it at one point, but I've kind of been beaten into submission. That there are much bigger issues that I feel need to be addressed.
Yeah.
Than this.
So my take on it is, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who have the standpoint of, I don't want Disney having a picture of my face like that in that way. And I understand that, but I'm going to go at it from the funnier, goofier way and say, with so many vloggers and live streamers in the park, there's probably a better chance that there's a video of you out there on YouTube screaming at your kids or doing something that you would be completely embarrassed about. Disney having a photo of your face, that's just small. And I mean, PhotoPass, if you're telling me there's someone out there who's not archiving all of that, even though it disappears from your account after so many days, I wouldn't believe you. So those photos are there somewhere. We live in a world where we kind of have to accept that it's going to constantly happen. And
if you want to move to Montana and live off the grid, that's an option.
It is.
Yeah. That's an option. I am not dismissing the concerns of privacy advocates and people who find this invasive. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not going to mock them or anything else, because I think they make a point. Like I said, maybe I'm part of the problem, but I'm like, okay, you know, especially right now, especially after the year we've lived through, I'm like, okay, just whatever. Go ahead.
My thought on it is I just hope the technology works pretty good. We've all been stuck behind somebody doing the fingerprinting that it just doesn't work out. It's not reading their finger, and you're stuck there on that line. You're like, oh man. And you're there for like 10 minutes before they actually get it figured out. That always kind of stinks. So I'm just worried. My main thought is like having everybody go through this when it is just the staple thing, like trying to get all the kids to do their facial recognition, because this isn't really I mean, unless correct me if I'm wrong, but this really isn't a security thing as much as it's a we don't want you sharing tickets thing. Like,
that's exactly what it's about. But that's also what the fingerprints were about. Okay, I mean, that's all.
So it's replacing that, right? So the first concern, really the only concern that pops into my head is I see more room for error with this than the fingerprinting. Although this is touchless, which is great. I just see lines getting held up. So let's hope the tech works good, because we all know how my Disney experience isn't always the best thing in the world.
According to Disney, they're not actually like taking a photograph of your face. They're actually scanning your face and boiling it down to a number. Mm-hmm. And that becomes like your ID number. So maybe when they, you know, when they come to send me off to gay camp, that's the number they're going to use. I don't know.
Where is that located?
They're going to have a lot of problems when we get in a world where the technology in the movie Face Off actually exists and we can just swap random faces with people. We're going to be able to take so much advantage of this. It's going to be the technology will catch up one day. It's just, can Disney stay ahead of it? I've already just collected fingers to use for getting into parks for the longest time. So,
Oh my god! This has been my day today. This has been my day. All right. And speaking of technology, does somebody want to explain to me what the hell Magic Mobile is and why this needs to be a part of my life now?
It's a magic band in your phone.
Yes. Yep.
It's basically an expansion of the already magnificent My Disney experience that replaces your magic band through your phone. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody else believe that this is because they don't want to spend money giving out magic bands anymore?
No, that's why.
And no, that's exactly why this is being done. But I mean, you've already had the ability to, you know, unlock your hotel room through the My Disney experience app. So that's just kind of being expanded on that. You can use your phone. You can use right now. It's only available on iPhones, on iOS devices, but you can use your phone or your watch instead of a magic band when you walk up to go into a park. Presumably you can use it to pay, right? Can you use it the same way as your magic band to pay?
Yes. You connect your Apple wallet to it. And you'll scan to pay just like a magic band would do as well. And it's interchangeable. So like if you have your own magic band, you have to set up on your phone, whatever works for you that day, you can go with.
Yeah. Thoughts, impressions?
Add my little tip. I tried it in my Disney experience this morning without downloading anything. And my Disney experience comes up and you can see Mobile Magic there. But then I went back and read the fine print because it wouldn't come up. I needed to update my iOS and re-download my Disney experience. So
that's because Kathy is still working on an iPhone 4 with iOS like 2. So
I do have an iPhone 4, but I did it this way because I figured my clients would, you know, like anything else, you want to try it before
you see, because people thought it, because the audience thought I was being sarcastic. And I wasn't. Kathy, I think she still has the first phone Alexander Graham Bell created, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So I have been just waiting for this to happen for the longest time. I am one of those people who I held my ground on not wanting to use Apple Pay for anything for the longest time. And now I live by it. Like if I walk into a place that doesn't have Apple Pay and I have to pull out my wallet, I immediately doubled down. I'm like, do I really want to shop here? Do I want to go here? I am all for it. So the fact now that I can have those days where I completely forget to have my annual pass with me or a magic band, because I think I've only worn a magic band like 3 times in my life. One of them Denny gave me and I lost it, and maybe I gave it back. I don't know. But now that I know that my pass will always be on my phone and I always have that on me when I'm at a theme park, you cannot beat that. This is a long overdue. It needed to happen a while back, and I can't wait for it to actually go in giddy. And use it. I want to go right now.
Like, this is Craig working. Giddy, by we're the working. Way. To the go. Audience, if you want to know what giddy Craig looks like, they're going to let him use his phone for his annual pass, and he's over there sliding off the seat.
I'm a very simple person. I'm a simple person.
And another neat facet of it is you can share your pass with others who have their pass all set up as well. And then they can have that and be able to use that. So you can be swiping multiple people in on one device. And as a mom who has had to turn around and go back home to get a Magic Band or a pass from one of my wonderful children, after getting to the park, that's a, when you get there and you don't want to stand in the will call line, I've also had to do that to get a duplicate pass because a child forgot it. This is just going to be really nice as far as those who are big into planning. It's the group leaders of a trip. You can have everybody's pass in your wallet, and you at least know that you have a fail safe.
But we are still going to be stuck behind. Is there a frog loose somewhere?
That's what I'm hearing too.
What am I hearing? I'm like.
Is it a cat purring?
I don't. I don't know.
That cat's got something wrong with it.
It's not any of my cats. They're not here.
All right. So I don't know. But anyway, yeah. We all know we are going, no matter what they do, you've got to just like show your face. It's still going to take somebody 25 minutes to get through the damn turnstile. It doesn't matter how easy they make it. It is always going to happen. I mean, trying to get somebody to put their finger, their finger in something was like apparently a step too far. And so, but I understand why they're doing this. I don't necessarily criticize them for it. But I do understand the other side. I really do. I've been, like I said, maybe I'm part of the problem, beaten in a submission, like whatever. I want to go into the park. What do I need to do? You want my phone? You want my watch? You want my face? You want my fingerprint? You want blood? What do you need? I just want to go into the park. So what the hell is that?
Oh, well, unfortunately for us, it appears to be something with Kathy's microphone. And so I currently have her on mute right now until we can figure it out.
And you just walked right in front of Craig's camera. We have a guest in the studio today who decided it was time to go to the bathroom. And
when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You hold it on Tuesdays.
Yes, you do.
Well, not if you're not on camera. I mean, if you're not going to, well, he just was on camera, but all right. So anything else anybody wants to add? Because that's everything I had for today. I really thought this conversation was going to go longer.
I hope
you people
Kathy.
Disappoint me. Poor Kathy has nothing to add because apparently her toad cat is unhappy.
Just Kathy, if you have to talk, just like wave your hand so I can unmute you right before it. But I don't think she has to right now.
Oh, God. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That's going to be our show for today. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks.